Well, I spent a lot longer time on the children's message today, so don't fear. This is going to be a short message, but it's a very wonderful message from God that we want to look at together on this blessed Christmas morning. These scriptures have all been from Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, and we've really gained a lot from Isaiah and his teachings to us throughout this Christmas season from Advent, beginning the end of November, actually. Do you remember what you were doing the end of November? So it's been, it seems like a long time, but it's actually been a very short time. We had a wonderful celebration on Friday night, the candlelight service, where we were lighting candles, and the youth came forward and they also lit candles, and we sang Silent Night together holding those candles. And all of that really comes from God's word. And this is one of the wonderful scriptures today that teaches us about that and the meaning of that light. And it comes at a time when there's great darkness. Again, you know, we're talking about how the hymn, the carol, Silent Night, was composed by someone who was inspired by a star-filled night in Austria and the starlight and looking down upon the town that he loved and that he served as a priest. He was inspired to write the words for Silent Night, and it was meant to bring comfort and hope to people who had just endured 12 years of war. And the story explains that they were filled with sadness, depression, that they were poverty-stricken after war, they were dejected, and they were really in need of a good word. And so he blessed them through the Holy Spirit blessing him with Silent Night. And I didn't tell this part of the story, but actually his friend, who was a composer and a musician, wrote the music for his words, and they were really inspired by the people living there. It was a town near Salzburg. I don't know if you've ever been to Salzburg. It's where the Sound of Music, have you ever seen the Sound of Music movie? It's the beautiful hill country and mountains there in Austria, but there's also a river in close by. And they were able to work the salt from the river. It was a salt-filled water there. And they had factories and produced salt. Well, the composer actually drew upon the waving back and forth of the river and the motion of the river to compose the rhythm that is found in Silent Night. And so he was relating to the people there in that town with the rhythm that he produced and the beauty of the melody as well, to help them to feel God is very close to them, that he was, you know, a part of their daily lives, that he was a part of their work. And it really makes a difference like that. And that is exactly what God did in sending his son to us. He wanted us to know, all of us, not only the people in Salzburg then, but all of us, to know that he relates to us. He is our God. He's our Father. And that we have a relationship with him. And in whatever way that you're involved in life, whatever you're gifted with, whatever you are doing in your life, you can draw upon that message for yourself to know that God not only wants us to know the good news that he saved us from our sins, but that he wants to come into your lives, where you are, what you're doing, who you are, and show you that he wants to come into that place and reveal himself to you, so that you will know what? So that you will know hope and peace and joy and love. So that you will have that, and no matter what situation that you're going through, right? This is a particular meaning for our brother Toby. Uncle Toby is now in the hospital, and he's going to be operated on tomorrow morning. And he has a brain tumor, unfortunately, but God is with him. And he's coming into his situation there at this moment. We can be sure of it. And we want to know, God wants him to know, and we've been praying that. And I know that Minister Can knows that God is with him and with them. And she has been praising God for the ways that he's been working for salvation. And so we are praying alongside with them But God comes into every situation that we face, right? And he loves us so much. And that is exactly the case here for the people of God. The first verse in chapter 9 that we didn't read today says this: there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. Gloom is a darkness and a deep darkness that looms over us in life. And that is a very dramatic way of setting up what was going to happen here. There will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. Right? God comes in with this good word. The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. That really spoke to me when I've read this many times, but it really spoke to me just this morning when I reread this again. And God saying that the people see a light coming. And someone wrote a wonderful illustration of the people in the north, the far north, where there is a heavy darkness. You know, I don't know if it was Sweden or where it was, but they have a lingering darkness for a long time. And so when light comes, they go out and they greet that light and say, "Behold, the light comes." And I believe that they do that because of Jesus Christ. I don't know whether they do that intentionally because of Jesus Christ, but I know that that sign to them is given so that they will know that Jesus is the light and that he brings light into the darkness of our world. We take it for granted, but that happens each day, doesn't it? Right? That we have the night and it's dark and it can be very cold and it can be the wind blowing as we have been experiencing, but God's light comes and look at it. Look at the stained glass, right? The sunshine coming through these glasses here to show us that God is sending his light. He is the light. Jesus is the light. And he comes into our lives like that. And so no matter what you're going through in your life, you can be glad and praise God for that, that he is there and that he's real. And he gives us that light to take comfort in and to have hope. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. The deep darkness, right? We think of the people who are in war right now, right? I read in the New York Times this morning of an article that was entitled something like the people of the Ukraine have taken heart in the Christmas lights that have broken through the darkness of the war and the threat that they are facing right now. And it's true. It's true. God comes. It's not just lights that we hang on a tree. It is Jesus behind those lights that gives us that hope. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. And so this joy candle has real meaning for us when we see it, right? This is another thing that you could consider purchasing as a gift for your family. And the candles, they're very easy to find. And you can light those each week of Advent and celebrate that kind of a tradition yourselves, right? We have it at church every week, but you can do that at home and gather around it and remind yourselves of that light, that not just the light, but the things that are represented in that light when you read scripture and light the candles, right? But you have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. And that's what Jesus does. That light comes to increase joy, right? To take away the darkness from our hearts and to fill us with joy, right? Increasing joy. And they rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. So there's this time of harvest, of feasting that we have been also actually hearing about in our Sunday school class. There was a Bible study class where someone asked the meaning of the feasts. Here it is. It's found in Jesus Christ coming and giving us life, and that one day we will celebrate in heaven this wonderful feast that we are God's children and we have come home to him. A joy at the harvest as when they are glad when they divide the spoil. And so this time is a time of harvest for us now because the light has come, right? And we have much to be joyful about. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, right? Goes on to say three times different things, four, For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. And Gideon had defeated Midian, and that's where this comes from in Judges. And so this victory, right? The burden upon the people has been broken. That's a big part of our lives as Christians. What is burden? What does the burden represent, someone? A burden of our sins. Our sins have been cast away, right? Defeated. And by whom? By the light who came into the world, Jesus Christ. That's one of the biggest things that I've been learning through this season. And it sounds silly, but you know, I've just felt an appreciation for the fact that my sins are forgiven. And we say that each week with the confessional, and we should say it each day in our daily lives to pray for forgiveness. But that's what Jesus came for, isn't it? He came to save the world from sin. And that's what the angels came and proclaimed to everyone. And so it's so important for us to understand that this burden has no power over us because Jesus took it from us. He carried it upon himself. That, what a great Savior. He came and saved us in that way. And so we need to also, brothers and sisters, be very sensitive to this word and bring it to people so that they also will know that their sins can be saved from by Jesus, that their sins can be washed away, right? We feel like, oh, I don't want to talk about that. Well, we need to talk about that because it's a reality. That's why Jesus came. And if Jesus came to do that, then we have to trust that people will be prepared by God to hear that word and receive it. Amen? It's hard, but let's really think and pray about that and let God's Spirit bring those words from us and say, I really want to help you, but Jesus is the only one that can help you. Give your life to him. Ask him to forgive your sins. Those are the words I spoke that were spoken to me by my mother when I was lost one night, and I went to her and said, how do I deal with this sin? I can't help you, but Jesus can. Go to him and ask him to forgive your sins. And he did. And my burden was gone. The burden was gone. I didn't remain as I wanted to be for many years, and still to today, we all sin, but I knew that my Savior had forgiven my sins. For the yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel from the fire. There will be an end to war. There will be an end to war. Especially young people, pay attention to these words because you are the generation that is growing up now. It is essential that the word of God be heard from you as his witnesses to teach people about this fact that Jesus Christ and the Savior that we have, the one who carried our sins to the cross and died for us, is the hope of the world and the only hope that the world has. And that one day there will be an end to all of those things. He will return and bring all of us into a place called heaven, and that place is without any war. There's no more. For to us, this is the third four, for to us a child is born. And that grabs our attention after these things. A burden of sin, the threat of war, all these things. And who does God send? A child. Completely out of the ordinary, a child is sent, right? He's born. To us, a child is born. To you and to me, a child is born. Do you hear the God who is one reaching out in relationship to us? Coming as a child, coming in peace, coming in love, coming in this servanthood, to say to us, I love you. I'm coming to show you that I am with you. And here is my son, Jesus Christ, to do that. To you, to us, is a child born. To us, a son is given. The Son of God is given. the only Son of God is given. The beloved Son of God is given. He's given to you and to me. Isn't that precious? Isn't that wonderful? Today on Christmas, to say, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming and saving me from my sins. What did I do to deserve this? Nothing, but you came and you gave yourself to me. Perhaps you've had the opportunity to give yourself to someone, right? You give someone to someone in your family, someone in your life that you do that, right? You say, I'm going to open myself up. I'm going to befriend you. I'm going to talk with you. I may even advise you, right, about things. But that is what God has put us here for. And that is why he uses this to show us, so that we will draw close to him and we will in turn give our lives to him and love him and live for him. That is the meaning of Christmas, that God comes and gives a gift to us. I was writing in the devotional this morning and saying, what do we say when we open a gift that we're really not expecting and it just blows us away? You open it up and you're thinking, what did you give me here? And you open it up and you take away the presents and the wrapping paper, and you open up the box and you go, for me? For me? You know, you're thinking, oh, wow, it's so great. You know, I don't even know what to say, you know? I have a bracelet on here today. A special person in our church gave me this as a present. It's a bracelet and it has a cross on it. And my heart is beating now as I even talk about this, because it's just so special to think, you know, to receive something that's handmade and to have a cross on it. You know, that's the kind of thing that changes us. You know, it brings us out of the other parts of our lives that are all burdened, and there's battles and there's things going on, and we're suddenly taken by a gift and we think, thank you. Amen. And that's what we all are capable of because of Jesus. He gave himself as a gift to us so that we in turn can be a gift to others. And that's one way you can do it with this tree. I didn't have very much time this year, so I had to use a lot of ornaments that we have. But you can make them. And when you make them, you can put the love that God has given to you into each ornament and then put them on your own tree and celebrate. There's so many different things that we're blessed with. I was totally blessed by the person who introduced me to this idea. I was thinking, there's so many things that we can do in life that bring us joy and that bring us closer to God. Let's do it. You know, let's take advantage of those and be thankful for the people who do those things. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And this part, whenever we think about government, we think about things we don't necessarily, unless you're a politician and you really like things. A lot of times we think of things in a negative way for government, but here is a government that we can like. And I read something by someone that really brought this into meaning for me. He was saying, this government is one where people see poor people and they go and help them. This is a government where the leader takes off his robe and puts on the wrap of a servant and bends down and washes the feet of his believers. That's the government that is upon his shoulders, one that is filled with this love and hope and peace and joy, all these things that we have in our Savior. This morning, hallelujah, Jesus is all of that. He is the one leader that we want in our lives, isn't he? And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. A wonderful counselor, someone who comes and gives us advice and shows us how to live, how we should live in our societies, right? This is the church, right? This is the church in the world. We need to be showing what we believe because we point to the leader, Jesus Christ. Mighty God, he's mighty to save. Amen. Amen. He's the everlasting Father, everlasting Father. No end. And he's our Father. He's our Father. Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Amen. And the increase of his government and of peace will be of no end. No end. That is the thing that when we repeat it, I was telling you a couple of weeks ago that we repeat scripture and the more that we say it, the more it excites us. If we read it one time, it's not enough. We just have to see, you know, say it over and over again. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Can we say that? There will be no end. Let's say it. There will be no end. Breathe it in. There will be no end. Hallelujah. Everlasting God, on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it, to hold it up. There's a psalm that I recite every morning before I send the lectionary reading out, and it's Psalm 145. The Jewish people I've read have said this twice a day because it's so important as a reminder of who they serve and who God is in their lives. 145, and one of my favorite verses is that the Lord upholds those who are fallen. He upholds those who are falling. Think of it. Think of it now in the terms of Brother Toby. Think of it in the things that happen in our lives that scare us and cause us to worry and to think, oh no, what are we going to do? There is a God in heaven who is everlasting, and he comes into these situations and he says, I've got you. Do not fear. I've got you. You're mine. I love you. That's the kind of God that we're celebrating today. With justice. He upholds it and establishes it with justice. He's a just God. He does only what is right. He's a righteous God. And the righteousness we have been learning is one where we care for others. That is true righteousness. Righteousness is proved by God, and he cares for us. How long? A temporary time, a day like today, and then it's over. No, this is going forth from this time and forevermore. Evermore, forevermore. These are the gifts of God to us. Life forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. In Psalm 46, it says, the Lord of the hosts will be with you. The Lord of hosts will be with you. And those are the things that we carry with us as God's witnesses, and we bear as human beings on the face of this earth with the gift of God to go to people and say, I see that you have a need, and I see that you are worried, and I see that you're troubled, and the Lord of hosts is with you. And immediately that person is not alone. They are not suffering on their own. They are not thinking, where am I going to walk in this darkness? They open their eyes when you speak the word of God, and they see the light. And that light is Jesus. Jesus Christ is the light. Amen. He is the light that we have here on the tree. He is the light in these candles here. He is the light in the sun. He is the light in these spotlights. He is the sun that is shining in our lives. He is the true light. The gloom is over. The darkness cannot overcome it. He is the true light. And he's your light. And so in this light, celebrate Christmas today. And be his light, because he has told us, you are the light of the world. Go and bear witness to people so that they have hope. Pray over it. Ask God to bless you. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to take away your sins so that you'll never have to worry about death ever again. And he will give it to you because it's free. And be his servant and be his light to this world. Carry the good news. Bring the good news, the choir sang the other night. Good news. Good news. Tell it. Tell it to everyone. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the good news that a child has been born for us. A son has been given for us. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise you. We give you glory. The only thing that we can think, Lord, is I only want Jesus. I just want Jesus. I just want to praise him. I just want to glorify him. I want to sing his praise. I want to live my life in praise. I want to dedicate my studies to him. I want to dedicate my work to him. I want to look for ways in my workplace, in my schoolwork, in my school place, in my play place, in my church, every place that you put me. I want to be the light so that people will have hope. And Lord, if anyone is here that is lacking, Jesus is their Savior today. We pray, Father, that you will touch their heart and that you will bring them into the glory, bring them into the kingdom. Give them that, Lord. I pray, Father, and brothers and sisters, if there's anyone here who needs Jesus that wants to give him their life here today, receiving the gift of eternal life, raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Nobody is looking. Just raise your hand and give your life to God, and he will bless you. God, we pray your blessing upon this gathering today, and we offer up our lives to you. We pray that you'll bless each person here and every family in Grace Church, here or on Zoom, or not able to make it today, Lord, that they will know that you are with them, the Lord of hosts is with them, and that a son has been given to them, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.